There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, where we are aware of weather. Or is it aware of weather day? Because there's always weather, by the way. I mean, it's whatever it is, it's weather, but we're aware of it. So it's raining out there. Yeah, we got that. All right. Phone number, text line, you know the digits. If you're new around here, then you'll learn them. You know, you'll learn them and you'll love them. It's 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Gets you through on a phone call or a text. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us one of those talkback messages. All right. And before we even get into all the stuff coming up today, you heard the news update there, right? So they got that Rex Huerman. From now on known as Dirtbag, the serial killer up in Gilgo Beach, right, the New York architect by day, murderer by night, something like that, which, so that the story's out there. But it coincided quite well with a text I got from a friend of mine. And heard some of the discussion during Jeff's show, people say, well, I don't vote. There's no difference between, you know, the candidates or... you'll hear, like, this candidate's not perfect, but you got to get, you know, we got to unseat so-and-so. So my buddy Ben sent me this, and it's entitled Every 4 Years, okay? Jeffrey Dahmer isn't perfect. Some of his past positions are problematic. But we need to defeat John Wayne Gacy in November, which means we've got to set aside our differences aside and unite behind Dahmer. If you don't vote for Dahmer, you'll be blamed for another 4 years of Gacy. Ben, thank you for that. That was the funniest moment of my day. So again, like when you hear the political rhetoric, like, listen, we, you know, oh, this guy has a Nazi tattoo and stuff, but, you know, what are we going to do? Once again, Jeffrey Dahmer isn't perfect. Some of his past positions are problematic, but we need to defeat John Wayne Gacy in November, which means we got to set aside our differences and unite behind Dahmer. If you don't vote for Dahmer, you will be blamed for another 4 years of Gacy. That's good stuff. All right. The ruling, SCOTUS ruling, we mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, and they just updated in the news. We'll talk about that coming up after 12:30, 12:35. Quinn Hillier's going to join us to talk about that. I mean, I'll lay this out. Basically, what does it all mean, right? Got a takeaway here. Supreme Court ruled that the federal government cannot automatically deny gun rights to somebody simply because they use marijuana. Like I said, I think I call this the Kid Rock rule, but... the court said the Constitution protects the Second Amendment rights of marijuana users unless the government can show they are dangerous or fall into another category historically barred from possessing firearms. That is so logical, even though we can argue why states have, you know, open sales of marijuana and it's still illegal on the federal registry. To go back to something I used to say, Jeff Sessions as Attorney General would have been the best thing ever for marijuana legalization, because he would have pursued the law as written, and then they would have had to do something about it. I'm not the weed consumer, but I am somebody who can go, hey, if something's against the law federally and states openly, not just on the medical side, okay, but I mean recreational or whatever, adult, whatever they call it, those two things don't square. But the court's saying here that the marijuana user, So, I mean, I don't think the federal government can come and say, well, it's because it's illegal federally. Well, you're letting, you know, folks in Colorado or, you know, and so many other states are buying it. So I don't think you can stand on that leg. So I think this makes sense in the kind of where we are today. The court says the Constitution, that thing that I still think is pretty important, protects your Second Amendment right. And it does as well of marijuana users unless the government can show they're dangerous. Okay, that seems legitimate. Now, there's going to be, you know, be a lot of pictures out there now. I don't think with Glock switched up pistols or Tech Nines, there's going to be people holding like a Browning A5 at a joint or something like that. So the Willie Nelson law. You get a little kid rock, little Willie Nelson. So we'll talk about that later on. Also, as we're talking about health matters, kind of, let's tracking metrics here on success in office. Story from Miami C15 says Secretary Kennedy says obesity has dropped by 2.5% since Trump got into office. So the fatty boombalatties have been reduced, at least in their weight, by 2.5%. So here's a quote. Came from the Twitter account for HHS. Since President Trump, I can't do the RFK voice, but picture it in your ears. Since President Trump came into office, obesity rates in this country have dropped by 2.5%. That's the first drop in 50 years. He said, he goes on to say, when my uncle was president, we spent zero taxpayer dollars on chronic disease. We were the healthiest country in the world. Today, we're the sickest. I completely agree. That is true. Now, I have wondered over time if HHS is serious here. You know, I mean, you think about Iran going to create a nuclear weapon. We got to stop them, right? We've got to stop them before they can do this. Well, if HHS is as serious, I was expecting mobilization, National Guard, going to the Keebler factory and shutting them down. Maybe just as a few Tomahawk cruise missiles going into the Twinkie plant, something like that. We haven't gotten there yet. Now, it is interesting. I don't know why exactly. First of all, how do you measure that? Right? Like, I think it's a good thing. We got to get healthier. We have to lower ourselves on the fatty boombalatty index. But RFK saying that we're 2.5% not as fat. Out of skinnier is the right word. 2.5, it says obesity rates have dropped by 2.5%. The only way you're going to figure that out, right, is whoever is going to the doctor and getting like, hey, Sullivan, last time you were in here, you were, ooh, man, now you're down. I mean, that has to happen, right? But that's the story. So, said it's the 2.5, obesity rates in the country have dropped by 2.5%. Do you out there, do you believe it? Do me a favor today. Citizen journalism, okay? Citizen journalism, can you scan around today and think what the people look like before President Trump came in for the second term and look at it now and tell me if you are you seeing here in our fair city or Baldwin County, Mobile County, greater southwest Alabama, southeast Mississippi, northwest Florida. Can you look around and go, you know what? Y'all look 2.5% skittier. Good job. So it's just, I wonder how they got the metric. They did not put that in the story because most people don't worry about things like that. I'm just a weird person that does. How did they figure that out? But I think it's a good thing. I just don't know how you measure it. I do think, I mean, if Kennedy is serious about this, I think some limited strikes until we can get an agreement with Twinkies and Keebler. Knock that down. Just an idea. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
right, 1221 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Yeah, it looks like the greater Hurley Loosedale Agricola Metroplex getting a bunch of it right now. But that line of storms getting ready to come across the from Mississippi into Alabama in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Speaking of which, too, I got a note from here at the License and Revenue Commission. Mobile County offices, I guess all the offices are, yeah, that is. Mobile County offices are closing at 1 o'clock today for inclement weather. That includes License and Revenue Commission. So there you go. Mobile County offices, there's, put that on the Facebook, maybe. Once again, just getting this in. 1 o'clock today. So you have business in county offices. Got to get done by 1 o'clock because they're moving out for the inclement weather. All right. Next up here. Yeah, y'all are making some good points. I had some blinders on. A texter said, sure, think of the rampant rise in GLP-1 drugs, that same time frame. You know, you're right. It's that's probably exactly what it is versus everybody's now, you know, eating healthy, which is what we should do. But still, I'm stuck on the 2.5%, you know, that how you got that metric. If somebody get RFK Jr. on the phone for me, I need to know how he got the 2.5% obesity rate drop. Because you're saying, okay, well, we, you know, checked with the doctors and they gave us the blind information, you know, without people's names. Here's the weights. Here's the, which, remember the old obesity thing? Remember, like, running backs? Was it Derrick Henry or something that they had said was obese because of height and weight? And I'm like, that man is not obese. You don't have the same people come in. I don't know. 2.5%. It just seems, I mean, it'd be a good thing. I just don't know how they got the information. Scrovereen says it may be courtesy of Lizzo. Lizzo lost weight in Trump's second term. Yes. I mean, there's only one Z in her name now. She's lost so much weight. Heath says obesity drop correlates with the uptick in peptide use. Yeah, you're making points on that. I just don't know how you come up with the 2.5%. CB Carl said, Sean, most of my time in public these days is either at Walmart, Dollar General, and Rouse's. It's going to take more than just over 2% for me to notice any difference. Yeah, Gene says the reduction is thanks to Eli Lilly. Did they make that? I thought it was Novo Nordisk or what? I thought it was the, I mean, there's a bunch of them out there. I don't know who makes them all. Wasn't it Novo Nordisk or something like that? Yeah, and then the antidote to that, Michael says, I suggest some good old Champies fried chicken. I like the Champies. I've been there. We still got to go on another fried chicken tour. I do enjoy that. All right, 14-point draft agreements out there. You know, Dalton and I were talking out in the hallway. It is interesting you talk about that. They're using DocuSign. It is amusing to me, first of all, that like we're like two sides between us and Iran who've been like killing each other, right? And then it's like you're sitting down in the attorney's office signing papers. And they use DocuSign, which is very strange. I mean, I know it's technology. It works. It just seems like on something that's this big. And I don't know, what does the signature mean? Like if you violate it, you sign the, what, you're going to go to small claims court here? What's happening? But it's been signed. I think maybe, fingers crossed, could bring an end to at least this chapter of the war with Iran. It says, here's some of the points in it. Number one in this draft deal, Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States, together with their allies in the current war, declare, I thought it wasn't a war, in the current war, declare upon signing of this memorandum of understanding. Just the fact that a MOU is part of like treaty negotiations these days. I mean, it's just, things have changed. Can you imagine like signing the end of World War II and like, oh, yeah, memorandum of understanding. But yeah, upon signing the MOU, an immediate and permanent end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. You hear that, Israel? Do you hear that? including Lebanon, and undertake that from now on they will not launch any hostile action against each other and will refrain from the threat or use of force against each other. The final agreement will confirm the provisions of this article and the remaining articles. Number two, Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States undertake to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity and refrain from interfering in each other's internal affairs. Good luck. Number three, Islamic Republic of Iran, United States undertake to negotiate and reach a final agreement within a maximum of 60 days, extendable by mutual consent. Number four, here immediately upon signing the MOU, the U.S. lifts the naval blockade and prevents any interference or obstruction against the Islamic Republic of Iran and restore traffic within a maximum of 30 days to full capacity. And more details there. Right? Number five, upon signing the MOU, the Islamic Republic of Iran will immediately take steps to ensure that the movement of merchant ships from the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and vice versa is resumed within 30 days. Number six, the U.S. undertakes, together with regional partners, to create a comprehensive plan agreed upon by both parties for the rehabilitation and economic development of the Islamic Republic of Iran while ensuring financing of at least $300 billion. Number seven, the United States commits to ending on a schedule to be agreed upon as part of the final agreement all types of sanctions currently facing the Islamic Republic of Iran. From here on, I'm just going to call them Iran, including resolutions of the United Nations Security Council and the Board of Governors of the IAEA. Well, that's interesting because IAEA is who's supposed to be watching the nuclear program. Number eight, Iran reiterates that it will never produce a nuclear weapon. Iran and the United States have agreed that the fate of the enriched material and the fate of all other mutually agreed nuclear-related issues, including Iran's nuclear needs, will be adequately addressed. Number nine, Islamic Republic of Iran, and the U.S. agreed that pending a final agreement, they will maintain the status quo. Iran will maintain the status quo on its nuclear program, and the United States will not impose new sanctions on Iran. Number 10, the U.S. undertakes immediately after signing this MOU, and until the date of lifting sanctions, the U.S. State's Treasury Department, United States Treasury Department, will issue waivers for exports of Iranian crude oil, petrochemical products and their derivatives, and all related services, including banking, insurance, transportation, and the like. Number 11, U.S. undertakes that in light of the progress of negotiations towards a final agreement, frozen or restricted funds and assets of Iran will be released and made fully available. These funds, whether held in the master account or transferred, will be used for any final beneficiary payment determined by the Central Bank of Iran and will be fully available for use. They'll probably just use it on good stuff, right? Like splash pads and stuff, except they don't have any water in Iran. But if they had more, they would have a splash pad. Number 12, Iran and the U.S. agree that the implementation mechanism will be established to oversee the successful implementation and future. Number 12 is a nothing. We agree that an implementation mechanism will be established to oversee the successful implementation of and future commitment to the final agreement. Okay. Yeah, it's and the last ones are like just by signing on to the, they say 14. It's really like 11 points that happen that aren't just returning to talk about the previous point. Yeah, okay. So, oh yeah, and David pointed out, hey, Squirrel Green, not just Lizzo. How about Jelly Roll? Jelly Roll probably accounted for 1.4% of the whole total.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talks 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm just keeping an update here. So National Weather Service, you heard the warning that went off a little bit earlier. Severe thunderstorm warning, including Chinchula, Wilmer, and Sims. That goes till about 1:15. Also, speaking of those kind of things, got the note here. Mobile County. Hey, Baldwin County, let me know. And am I trying to start trouble between the two counties? Of course I am. Of course I am. But I got this note. Mobile County offices closing at 1 o'clock today for inclement weather, including license and revenue commissions. So there you go. At Baldwin County, are y'all closing your offices? If not, do you want to text in any kind of trash talk to Mobile County, who's closing at 1? Just an option I'm throwing out there. All right. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show as well. We would talk about the Supreme Court ruling here. It's U.S. versus Hamani, but it's everybody's going to know it as the having a gun and having weed. Into talk about this more, read his work, QuinnHillier.com, over at NOLA.com. It's what was Quinn Hillier. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
This is, you know, is this the, somebody had texted in already, you and I had talked about it before, is this the Steve Nodine?
Yes, it is. And there are two different aspects to it. There's the constitutional aspect, which is really important, much more important than I think a lot of people realize. But of course, there's also the local angle in that this is exactly the gun charge that is still on Stephen Nodine's record. And I don't know if you want to get to the Nodine background first or the overall.
Well, no, let's go to the overall and say and talk about what SCOTUS has said here. And I thought, I mean, when I read through it too, I said, I can throw a bunch of curveballs at it because of being illegal federally, but because, in my interpretation, they're not shutting the state of Colorado down or somewhere who's selling weed, then how can they deny somebody a right, you know, Second Amendment right?
Because, exactly. You know. Okay. So the deal is, and let me preface it by saying I'm the last person you expect to really care about this and have written about it for literally 14 years now and probably probably nearly a dozen columns on it, because I've literally never smoked weed. And while I'm big on gun rights, I don't even like guns. I don't like shooting them. But here's the deal.
I've got 50% of this conversation.
So here's the deal is there's a law that was originally meant to catch major drug traffickers who are violent. And it says you can't be a, you can't use.
Known user of drugs. And
yeah, you can't use illicit substances while owning a firearm. And what they really mean is they're going after major drug smugglers. But
the law is the law, and it applies to...
Well, so the way the one part of the law is written, and it is rarely applied this way, but they have applied it this way, you can literally have one joint and completely apart from that, in a completely different place, own a legally owned, registered firearm that's not used in any crime and not even threatened in any crime, and suddenly they can say that firearm
federal violation.
Is illegally not that the pot is, but that the firearm is illegally owned and take away your gun rights forever.
Even though at the same time, people are on all kind of, you know, if the doctor prescribed it, they're on kind of all these other drugs out there, and they can have a gun.
Exactly. So what I've said for 14 years is, and written about, is that is a major violation of your Second Amendment rights. That you do not lose a fundamental constitutional right for something for which you've never even been convicted of, and that has no nexus to it. And
because they did point that out, they said unless you show that there's a But the way the law it was sitting was you didn't have to do anything wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Other than, I mean, it's technically wrong to go smoke a joint.
If you're in Colorado, it's like it's on the federal register.
It's still on the federal register.
Which, by the way, the biggest cop out. I like to talk about the cop outs in the bicameral cop outs in Congress. I thought Jeff Sessions, Sessions would have stayed there, it would have been good because he would have enforced the federal law and it would have made Congress make a decision here.
Exactly.
They're having their cake and eating it too. Having it illegal, even though all these states are selling it.
Well,
come on,
true.
Congress.
Yeah, but I don't even want to get into that because I actually think marijuana should be illegal. But whether it is or not,
but it's openly being sold. So
it's openly being sold. So apart from my distaste for marijuana, the very fact that you have committed a misdemeanor offense of smoking a joint.
Excellent point.
Does not mean that the gun in your house is suddenly made illegal, or it shouldn't be, but that's what the law and the way it was being applied was doing. And there was a case in Texas from a guy named Hamani who was just under this these circumstances, and they charged him with illegal ownership of a firearm that was otherwise legal, but they said because you smoked a joint, it's now illegal, and you lose that right forever. And the Supreme Court today finally said, because these cases like this have been working their way through the courts for years, Supreme Court finally said unanimously that I was right, that you were right, that you cannot take away a Second Amendment right unless there is a nexus to a crime. If you've got a gun in your hand while you're under the influence and you're waving it around,
different story.
Completely different story.
And if y'all read the decision here, they do point out before somebody texts in and say, well, do something bad. If you do something bad, it's gone.
Exactly. But the Supreme Court, and again, I repeat, without dissent, all nine justices came to the same conclusion that this is a violation of your Second Amendment right to bear arms and right to self-defense. And so it was a great decision. And the reason it's really important, and it's beyond the gun issue and beyond the pot issue, is if government, if a rogue prosecutor can take one alleged, not even convicted yet, one alleged violation in one realm and take away your rights in another, whether it's First Amendment rights to free speech or whatever, then we no longer have our liberties. And there's a crucial component of law that says you cannot illegalize that which is otherwise legal just because you're suspected of something else. You can't tie things like that together. That's what they do in authoritarian states. That's what they do in thugocracies. Well, the Supreme Court finally said it, did it right today, and everybody, not just gun owners, not just pot users, everybody should be happy that they recognize that this principle should stand.
A couple things come to mind. Number one, can you imagine if it was the same for First Amendment rights, if they said that the law had been written in a certain, they're going after these criminals before, but somehow they'd been doing something else, and if somebody had marijuana, they lost their First Amendment rights.
Okay, exactly.
Or let me point out, like, misdemeanor, which you said this is, driving with a suspended license. Y'all don't do that, but driving with a suspended license is a misdemeanor. Can you imagine, Mr. Smith drove with a suspended license, he didn't, or whatever, he now loses his Second Amendment right.
Yeah.
People would have lost their minds.
Or driving with because you drove with a suspended license, you no longer have a right to trial by jury.
Yeah.
Or any other fundamental right guaranteed by the Constitution. And that's why this is much more important more broadly than guns and pots. It is so important that you can't lose one right just because you're suspected of breaking some other law.
Sit here and listen, how it lasted this long before the Hamani case? Like, did it wasn't challenged?
Well, see, the Fourth Circuit, way back 14 years ago, the Fourth Circuit ruled the correct way. But for some reason, it's never reached the Supreme Court under the right circumstances that directly challenge it. There have been procedural motions. There have been, things get sent down to lower courts and it gets tied up. This is the first time the Supreme Court has actually gotten a chance to rule on this, even though there's been probably half a dozen cases that should have reached the Supreme Court along the same lines that didn't.
David says not only does it violate the Second Amendment, it violates due process and equal protection clauses.
Bingo. Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting thing when these things go on this long. If somebody has standing or the court has brought a case, because you can look at popular culture. I've asked this, and because when I knew this law was out there, I'd say I could take this interview with somebody, and then another interview. It's like the Willie Nelson or the Kid Rock effect or something like that. Guys that own guns, they public. There's a video. I got a gun. And then there's another one. They're smoking weed.
Yeah.
You're wondering if there's somebody out there just waiting to say, okay, here by evidence is this YouTube clip here and this YouTube clip here.
And now you
lose your right. And you're going to lose your right to own a gun.
Yeah. It's absurd. It's obscene that any prosecutor would actually prosecute or any judge would convict.
You see, they only do it when they want to get, you know, that's the problem.
Exactly. And but that leads back to what happened with Stephen.
Yeah, talk about the people who forgot, you know.
Okay. So while Stephen Nodine was facing a trial for murder, which I and Brendan Kirby especially separately ended up proving that he almost definitively that he didn't commit, even though he did a lot of other, you know, bad behavior. But he did not commit this crime. But while he was facing the trial, they also charged him under this exact same federal statute because he had admitted to smoking a joint on the beach in Pensacola, and he had a handgun 67 miles away in his closet, either closet or under his bed in Mobile. And so they brought a federal charge against him basically to put pressure on him for the state murder charge and to put him in a bind. And they refused to delay the federal trial until after the state trial, and that would have made it harder for various reasons legally to do the case that he wanted to on the murder trial. So he pled guilty to it to get it out of the way. And again, a joint on the beach, 67 miles away from the gun, which was legally owned and registered. So before I did any investigation into the murder, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that looked bad for Stephen on the murder trial. And I had no idea whether he had committed the murder or not at the time. I later found out and showed absolutely that he did not. But I saw the gun charge and I started thinking, I said, that cannot be constitutional. That cannot be allowable. And I started researching it. So I wrote this column March 18th, 2012, for the Press Register, for AL.com, I guess statewide by then, that said, this is not what the law was written for. It was written to get major drug traffickers that are using guns for, you know, as part of their drug trafficking. It's not meant for something like this. And even if it were meant for something like this, it should be obviously judged unconstitutional. And this had nothing to do with wanting to exonerate Stephen on the murder charge, because I didn't know at the time whether he was guilty. Again, he was not guilty of the murder. But this was an abomination, and I have written about it probably 10 times, but 8 to 10 times in the last 14 years. And it just stuck under my craw. And now, to bring it back to Nodine, he'll almost certainly go back to court and ask for his federal conviction to be vacated now that the law under which he was prosecuted has been shown to be unconstitutional.
And I wonder how many other cases.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamani's not the only one. You know?
No, again, prosecutors usually aren't jerky enough to use that law.
Is that a legal term?
Yeah, absolutely legal.
Yeah.
You look in Black's Law Dictionary jerky. And it says jerky.
Okay.
not to be confused with beef jerky. But anyway, usually prosecutors are not jerky enough to try to use that law in that way. But there have been cases. That's why I said about 6 or 7 times it bubbled up through the courts. You know, they're probably, you know, only 6 or 7 or 10 of these in the last 10 years. But it's important that they not be allowed.
100%. Hang on for a second. Go to the news. Coming right back. More with Quinn. And we'll get your text at 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, so 12:52 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We're glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. I guess you can call it storm surge. Pictures from Dolphin Island coming in here, and a pretty big band of rain coming in right across the the greater Georgetown, Chunchula, Wilmer, Sims Metroplex, right through there. But it all just seems to be just heavy-duty thunderstorm at this point, but we'll keep our eyes on it for you. All right, continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier. And it is, it's June, y'all, and with June comes the decisions from SCOTUS. I wonder sometimes, do they just sit on them?
Well,
you know, I mean, this is just like the.
It certainly looked like they sat on the redistricting case. There was no reason for that to take as many months as it did, but I don't know what was going on there. I do think, in general, they probably sit on the most controversial case that they have pending. They wait to the last day of the session. But other than that, from what I've gathered and what insiders tell me, they really do release them as soon as they have all the opinions in, usually.
But they all seem to come as a flurry here at the end of June.
As I say, they will definitely hold the biggest case till the end because they want to get out of town while everybody's going crazy over it. But other than that, I mean, you know, they have cases that aren't argued until March or sometimes even early April. And because they've got cases that were argued then and they usually take 2 months to decide, you know, that's just you know, normal activity. They're not trying to game the process. But I do think they game some of the biggest cases.
All right. Here's my segue. Mm-hmm. You ready for this? What if somebody cut down a tree in the city of Mobile? Should they lose their Second Amendment rights, Quinn Hillier? If it was proven that they had cut down the tree, and then they also, you knew they had owned a firearm,
if they cut down a tree, they should be executed. No. No, joking.
This is about the Live Oaks cut down. You're with the Tree Commission.
Yeah, I just got put on the Tree Commission, I'm not going to be going on the air talking about tree stuff now that I'm on the Tree Commission sounding like a journalist. But since you asked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're quoted in the story. I'm going to talk about next hour with Kyle Hamrick. So
the Tree Commission hasn't been posting its minutes. They're a bunch of good people.
Do y'all use paper to do that?
No. I mean, they should have been posted online, but they had some problems with access to the city computer, which is understandable. But the city just cut down a whole bunch of oak trees on Michigan Avenue. And they were supposed to go to the Tree Commission for a permit, and they didn't. And I just got on the Tree Commission, and I said, we can't have this again.
Is the issue here, is it about that they didn't go through the process of asking the commission, or is it the commission would have said no?
Well, we don't know what the commission. I mean, the commission should be reasonable. If there's good reason. The law specifically says, identifies live oaks as being especially worthy of protection by law. And then it says other trees, too, that are on public rights of way. You need to come to the city itself needs to come to the Tree Commission unless there's an emergency or an immediate health or safety hazard. And when they do something without going to the Tree Commission and without giving public notice, then people get all upset and you lose trust in government and all the rest of it. So my point was just, look, these trees have been cut down, and it sounded a little harsher in print than I guarantee you it sounded in person. I said, let's go send a delegation to meet with the mayor and his key staff that would, you know, apply to projects like this and make sure they know what the law is and make sure we have an open line of communication. I'm not casting aspersions on anybody. I don't want to say anybody's, you know, got bad character or bad intentions. Let's just open lines of communication and remind them how it should go. It's a new mayor. He hadn't dealt with this. And maybe we can avoid something like this in the future. And if they do if they want to cut down a bunch of trees that would be otherwise protected, but they have good reason, if you air it out in the public first and they say, well, this is why they need to come down and we're going to replace them 2-for-1, et cetera, then the public can say, well, we may agree or not agree with the decision, but we understand why it was done. We understand they did the right process. We understand, you know, that there's reason behind it and that they're not just running roughshod. So that's what I want to achieve is better public confidence in the process.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
But the idea is that the way you see it, the city comes to tree commission, says we're considering doing...
By law, it has to.
Coming to the tree commission, mm-hmm. we want to cut these trees in this mm-hmm. area, whatever. Then the tree commission, y'all sit back and, like, debate over it and then come back with a...
Yeah, I mean, the tree commission meets once a month, and the idea, again, is to have an extra sort of independent from politics board that looks at the reasonableness of it in light of the idea that on public rights of way, trees, especially live oaks, shouldn't be cut down willy-nilly. And that's by law. And if the law doesn't say that, then it's fine. But that's what the law says. So if the law says that, then I want to make sure the law is enforced. But not in a way that doesn't take into account the need for business. I'm a pro-business, mm-hmm. pro-market conservative. But I just think you got to follow the law and inspire public confidence, and that's what communication will do. And I think we'll be able to work great with the mayor and his staff once we get on the same page.
All right, I'll be watching it. Quinn, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.